Thank you.
In listen only mode.
Glad to see we have. Okay, I would like to call to order. And we're working on technology, so I think we've got everything working, but if not, bear with us. But I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Finance Committee. And can I get roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present. Director Brian Attell has joined via teleconference.
Great. Brian, you with us?
I am.
Great. Okay. This is the time for public comment. If there's anybody that happens to be on the line that would like to speak to an item that is not agendized, a general item with regards to finance, this would be your time to speak up. There is nobody in the room that wants to do that, but is there anybody on the line that may want to speak under public comments? One last try. Speak or forever. Okay, we have nobody on the line. I will now close public comments and move on to our agenda. Director Gateau, would you like to make a motion to accept the minutes?
Yes, I make that motion.
And I will second it. All those in favor, aye. And the motion carries. we have some presentations. Brian, I'm hoping you can get a good idea of what's going on, because one of them is actually going to be, he'll be able to see it, right?
He is calling.
Okay, so he won't be able to see it. Brian, you're just going to have to listen to
best. I have the presentation in front of me off the agenda.
Very good. So at this point, I will call
Mr. Jim Fabian.
Jim Fabian.
He is on the line.
On the line. Mr. Fabian, this is Kevin, President of the Board. How are you? And we're here to hear what you have for us.
Great, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, but maybe turn up just a little bit.
Okay, great.
Yeah, there we go. We're good.
Okay, all right, thank you. And good afternoon, and I'm sorry I cannot be there in person. But we have a presentation we wanted to walk through in conjunction with working with staff and Nikki Tolman, who's there in person from Oppenheimer. We want to walk through a presentation to provide you with a summary of upcoming board action on April the 20th related to a bonding for water and wastewater improvements. The next slide, please. We've been working as a team with the staff, Dina, Julie, and Aaron, and bond counsel Jones Hall, Juan, and Brian. And again, my name is Jim Fabian of Fieldman Rolapp & Associates, the municipal advisor to the district, and our underwriter, Brandis Tolman, a division of Oppenheimer. Nikki Tolman, Dan Shaw, and Nolan Blair have been working on the bond financing that will be coming forward to the board on April the 20th.
Very good.
Next slide, please. This slide is an overview of the financing that will be presented to the board on April 20th. So we're going to be issuing approximately $16,705,000 of tax-exempt enterprise revenue bonds. That number is subject to change until the day of the pricing, as the bond market is fluctuating due to a lot of the external events outside of our control with inflation, geopolitical events, and other Federal Reserve actions that are being either contemplated or talked about on a daily basis. So we're looking at roughly about $4.6 million for the water project and $12 million for the wastewater project. The 2022 bonds will be secured by installment payments that you will make from the water system and the wastewater system based upon net revenues in each of the systems. And think of it this way: you collect your rates and charges and other revenues, and those are your gross revenues. Then you subtract from that your operation and maintenance expenses, and that leaves your net revenues that are available for payment of debt on outstanding bonds. The net revenues are not cross-collateralized between the two systems. So water stands on its own, wastewater stands on its own. The two projects that are being financed on the water side, we have construction of well number 8. And then on the wastewater side, we have the denitrification facility, which is not only being funded by the bonds, but also from PAYGO revenues of the district. The water project is estimated to be completed around April of 2025. The denitrification project will be completed around June 2023. You typically have 3 years to spend down your bond proceeds from tax-exempt bond financings. This debt, the 2022 bonds, will be on parity with your 2012 and 2017 enterprise revenue bonds. And those bonds are currently rated AA by S&P. And was talked about before the meeting started, we did have our rating presentation last week via Zoom with the analysts from S&P, and we'll be getting a rating next week from them. So next slide, please.
At this point, we don't know.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
At this point, we don't know what that rating is. It's
no, we
don't. We do not know. Yes. Okay. And again, just drilling down a little bit. No pun intended for the well. We have a description of the project there: the design, acquisition, and construction of the new water well number 8. That project is approximately $5 million. And the completion date is, as I mentioned, April of 2025. Next slide, please. So one of the things S&P looks at is the financial health of each of your systems. This is a snapshot of the last 5 years of your liquidity or days cash, the dollars that you have collected in the systems. And you can see there that you're in a very strong cash position. Roughly are estimated to end June 30, 2022 at roughly 800 days cash, which is, you know, over 2 years of cash in the system. So that's one of the credit strengths that you have, is that you have a strong liquidity position, and that's very important to the rating agencies. And so I think that's a real testament to management and the stewardship of the board.
Jim?
Next slide, please.
Jim?
Yes.
So, just because I'm not a high finance guy, I mean, I did major in accounting 40 years ago in college, but most of that's probably gone by the wayside with the dead brain cells. But so I understand this maybe a little better, is one of the reasons that we are so strong in cash is because we're so we are so restricted in what we do. In other words, we're not like a city where we have a general fund and a lot of different things we finance. We strictly charge money for a service, and that's the only service that we really provide. Is that why we're in a strong cash? Is that part of the reason we're in a strong cash basis?
I think that's one of the reasons. You know, clearly, the other thing is that you have some capital projects that take time to build. So you're building cash to be able to pay go those projects. Other than water well 8, on the water side, you have other capital improvements will draw down that cash over time. So it's your conservative management, your rate setting procedures and policies, and then the timing of spending down your money for specific capital improvement projects that are not bonded for. It's all those things in combination. You know, it typically you want to be in a position like this as a system to deal with unforeseen events, you know, that potentially could happen, you know, where there's some sort of catastrophe where, you know, you were not able to charge residents, or there was a disruption in the services. And so this is a very important thing to have, is that cash just in case things happen.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Okay, talked about, we're going to be raising approximately $5 million from the bond issuance. You can see we're going to have, you know, bond premium, bond issue amount of about $4.6 million. a premium, and premium is where the investors pay you a little bit more than they normally would to get a little bit of a higher interest rate. As a from their perspective, that's important because they feel rates will rise over the future. So that's dollars they pay to you today. So you add that together with the bond amount, and you get the $5 million for that goes into the project fund that Dina and Julie and Aaron will spend down as they build well number 8. And then there's issuance costs of roughly $81,000. The debt service there on the right you see is about $264,000, $263,000 a year for this debt service profile for the project. Payments are due June 1, 12/1. It's a 30-year term for this debt. So the final maturity is 12/1/2052. And that's relatively common for an asset that has a useful life of, you know, typically 50 years or longer like this. We would have a 10-year par call at 100%. So in year 10, you could call the bonds and refinance them at that point in time, and there would be no penalty associated with that. And then, as I mentioned, our average debt service is roughly about $264,000.
So, as I recall from previous
bonds... Any questions on the proposed debt service profile?
Jim, just a clarification.
I just had a quick question now. This is Director Gattell.
Go ahead, Brian.
Is it prudent to finance the issuance expenses, or is that just normal?
It's typical, yes. So your fixed cost of paying for myself, the underwriter, bond counsel, the rating agency are typically included in the financing.
And Jim, this is Kevin again. On the 10-year par call, what you're telling us there is that we cannot pay this off earlier than 10 years, but after 10 years, we may be able to do so. Let's just say interest rates drop to 2% or something ridiculous like that. It would take us, we couldn't do anything for 10 years though, is that correct?
That's right,
okay.
Yes. And, you think about like what happens in 10 years, you know, your loan or debt becomes a 20-year term at that point in time. And then typically a bond can be refinanced because of the shorter maturity and the savings realized by having shorter maturity. So that's, and it's very common in most cases to have a 10-year par call like we have here, proposing here.
That guarantees the investors that much money for 10 years, basically, right?
Okay, on the next slide, we're showing you your overall aggregate debt service on the water system.
Yep.
And you can see that, remember, you have, you issued bonds in 2012. There was another bond issue in 2017. That was a 10-year bond issue for meters. And then you have now your 2022 debt. And you can see there that you're going to have a step down in 2028. You'll have another step down in 2044. And if there was another issue in the future, you know, you would probably mimic the debt service. So you would take advantage of that step down in 2028 and have more of a level debt service of 500,000 or so if there was any other future borrowing needs of the water system. So you have a lot of flexibility if something might come up in the future.
Okay.
And then what this slide does is this looks at the details of the water system. And this is something that, again, the rating agency looks at. And they're trying to identify your projected coverage. So what we're looking at here is that gross revenue that I talked about up on the top row. And just looking at, let's just focus on 2023, the first full year of the debt service, you roughly have $5 million of projected revenues, and you have roughly $3.9 million of expenses and roughly $1.1 million of net revenues. And then you have your 2012 debt service, your 2017, and your 2022 debt service, roughly $520,000. And you divide that into your net revenues, and you have roughly over two times coverage, which is a strong position to be in for the water system, especially when you add that to that day's cash that we talked about previously. So that's why we think you're a double-A credit in going forward for the water system.
What happens to this other $500,000?
Any question on this slide?
So that's our net.
Yeah.
We're going to spend.
One thing I should point out here too is that what we did is we used the current rating, the current rate study that was done that projects your revenues through or rate increases through 2025. And then we made an assumption about a rate increase for 2026. So that was what was used to project and on that top line of the revenues.
Okay,
we're going to move into wastewater next. And again, as we talked about, this is the proceeds will be used for the denitrification project. And that is roughly $13 million from the bonds, and then $7 million from your existing revenues that you've been funding on a PAYGO basis. So that project, as I mentioned, is scheduled to be completed in July of 2023. On the next slide, we're going to show that same slide we showed for water, but this is on the wastewater side. And you can see you're even in a stronger position on wastewater in terms of your day's cash, roughly 1,631 days cash projected at June 30, 2022, which is, almost 5 years worth of cash. So very strong position. Again, over time, this you'll spend some of this down because of just the projects that you have that are non-bond related that you'll continue to build. But again, this is a very strong liquidity position for the wastewater fund.
Okay.
Now let's look at the debt service profile for the wastewater. As we talked about, we're going to be netting $13 million for the project. That will be coming from the bond proceeds and the premium paid by the investors. The expenses are pro rata, so we assumed $81,000 for water, roughly $215,000 for the wastewater side of things. Same payment dates of June 1st and December 1st. This again is a 30-year maturity, 12/1/2052. It also has the par call at 100% in year 10. And your average debt service on this debt is roughly $700,000 or $687,000 on an annual basis.
Okay.
Now, again, what we did here is we did a 5-year look forward of your revenues, expenses, net revenues, and debt service, using the rate study as the projected revenue increases for 23, 24, and 25, making an assumption for a rate increase in 2026. You can see here in looking at year 2023, your coverage, when you look at your revenues of roughly 6.4, expenses roughly 6.9, net revenues of 2.5, but your debt service a little bit higher here because of your 2012, 2017, and the new 2022 bonds of roughly 1.8. So your coverage is right around 140 on the wastewater side of things. So remember, on the water side, we were at two times. Here we're a little bit lower at the 140. But again, that's mitigated by that liquidity, days cash that you have in your wastewater fund.
Okay, so when I look at the Jim,
then like the water side, we have Jim slide showing
Jim.
Your aggregate.
Jim, can
yes.
you can you hear me, sir? So it looks to me
yes.
like the issuance costs are like around 1.5 or 1.6%. Is that right?
Total I think our issuance are right around 300,000 in total. And that sounds about right based upon the total. And then they're just pro rata distributed between water and wastewater based upon the par size.
I just broke my, okay, go ahead. he doesn't know me. Okay, we're good.
Okay. All right, great. And then again, this is the aggregate debt service on showing your 2012 bonds, your 2017 bonds, and then your 2022 bonds. And you can see wastewater is a little bit different than water.
Yeah.
You have pretty much level debt service, you know, starting in 2023 all the way out to 2048 of roughly 1.8 million. And then you have five more years out there after all the 2012 and 2017s go away, and just the 2022 bonds. So a little bit different debt service profile on the wastewater side.
But we got the bonds at the same time. Why is the profile so much different? We didn't?
I think of the amount and the length of the term.
Or
of
where,
the
it was where it was designated, whether it was designated to water or wastewater.
Yeah,
okay, I'm sorry.
2017, remember, the yeah, waste, it was the just water for, one was 10 years.
So. It was finished, and it was, and that was just basically for meters.
It was.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Yes. And remember, you typically try to, for like a 50-year asset, you typically do a 30-year. Meters, you know, it's a different story because they're much more of a shorter useful life. And so in most cases for water systems, for wastewater system, a 30-year amortization timeline is used.
Got it.
Okay, so now I get to play lawyer, which, you know, I'm not, but... I will talk about the legal structures and key covenants of what we're putting in front of you. And remember, on April 20th, the board will have two resolutions and then all the legal documents, including the preliminary official statement in front of you for approval that will allow staff to move forward with the issuance of the bonds. And so, as I talked about, the installment payments are from the net revenues of each of the respective systems, water and wastewater. And the legal document is an installment sale agreement that sets out how that works. It defines things. It provides the legal structure of segregating the revenues and then transferring them over to the trustee who will collect them and then pay the debt service. And as I mentioned, the two systems stand on their own. So water stands by itself, separate from the wastewater side of things. And we talked before, we have you'll have a fixed interest rate when the bonds are sold. We'll have a level debt service, and then we'll have a rate covenant so that you have a minimum amount of coverage that you have to maintain of at least 1.25 times coverage as a rate covenant going forward as a board, you will need to make sure you're at least that going forward from your bond documentation. It does, the other key element of these legal documents are that it does allow you, just like you're doing now with your 2012, 2017 bonds, it allows you to have additional parity obligations that you could use to finance other projects if you maintain that 125% of maximum annual debt service. And by parity, what that means is each of those debts are on an equal status in terms of their claim on the net revenues of each of the systems. So your 12, 17, and 22 bonds all have an equal claim to that net revenue.
Understood.
Okay. And again, this is a good summary of the actions that will be in front of you as a board on April 20th. As I mentioned, you'll have two resolutions. You'll be wearing your two hats. One is the the board and the other as the finance authority to issue the revenue bonds. The parameters, and these are not to exceed parameters, so we always try to give a lot of headroom just to allow for any what ifs that might happen. So we assumed an $18.5 million not to exceed bond amount. We're not going to be at that, but it was just to have a little bit of headroom. Final maturity date of 6/1/2053, and then not to exceed interest rate of 4.75%. Again, that's has some cushion built into that not to exceed interest rate. Definitely wanted to mention that the bond market is really volatile right now. My recommendation would be to try to sell as soon as we can to lock in interest rates. The Fed is definitely in a position of where there'll be additional rate increases throughout 2022. The speculation now is a 50 basis point movement at their next board meeting and then another 50. So we're in a position of rising interest rates, and so we want to try to lock in our interest rate as soon as we can.
Jim?
The resolution.
Yes. Trust me. I've been talking to our staff about this weekly. Hey, can we lock this thing in yet? Hey, can we lock this thing in yet? We're already spending the money, so we're as anxious as you are to lock this thing in.
Right. And we're in good hands with Nikki. She'll give us the best possible date to get into the market and secure our funding. The resolution, as I mentioned, will approve the preliminary official statement, which is the offering statement that Oppenheimer will use to provide information to bond investors. That will come before you as a board to review make sure you take a look at that document, because it really has everything you need to know about the bond issue. The indenture, as I mentioned, is the legal document, really provides the framework, legal structure for the trustee as they administer the bonds for their 30-year term. The installment sale agreements, as I mentioned, provides the definition of how revenues are treated, how they're pledged. And then the bond purchase agreement is the agreement between the district and Oppenheimer, where they buy your bonds from you, resell them to bond investors. We're also recommending making some minor modifications to the 2017 documents. We consider these technical changes, do nothing to dilute the position of the existing 2017 bondholders. In Jones Hall's review of the prior transaction, they felt these changes needed to be made to provide conformity with our 2022 bonds, and they put forward some recommended changes that will also be approved at the April 20th meeting.
But that's a seamless operation that will be included in the documents that we approve.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes. And then looking at our schedule, so as I mentioned, next week we get our credit rating. We had a great presentation. The staff did a wonderful job of really talking about the district, providing the underpinnings of the financial and the management of the district, and just the overall strength of both of the systems. I couldn't have been more pleased with how well they did in presenting the information to S&P. We then would come back in front of you, the full board, on April 20th for the approval. And then, as I mentioned, we would be looking then to Nikki and her team to price the bonds on May 5th. At that point in time, we have our interest rate. We know what the interest rate will be. And then we just procedurally move into the bond closing 2 weeks later. And then the funds would be in hand at May 19th.
Why is May 5th significant?
May 5th is the date that we will set the interest rates on the bonds.
That just gives you time from when we sign the resolutions to get it done. Is that all?
Exactly.
basically.
So after we go to the board on the 20th,
yeah.
Then we'll finalize the POS, distribute it to investors, and then it takes about a week for us to market the bonds
okay.
and work with investors.
Okay. Go ahead, Jim. Are you done?
I'm done with everything I wanted to share with you. Happy to answer any questions. I know Nikki's there. She could provide some additional insight on the bond market based upon the fact her firm is in the market on a daily basis. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have about the financing and what's in front of you on April 20th.
Well, let me ask my colleague if he has any questions for you. Brian?
Yeah, I just want some clarity. I'm just trying to understand how the premium works and why that is the way it's set up.
That's to our benefit.
Best person to answer that.
Sorry, I interrupted you, sir. Who's the best person to answer that?
Nikki.
Okay, so we can ask that of Nikki. Go ahead, Nikki. Help us out.
Okay, so in the current interest rate environment, because even though rates have been going up, they've gone up maybe 100 plus basis points or 1 percentage point since the beginning of the year. So we are all anxious to get the bonds priced. But in the historical picture, interest rates are still relatively low. The 30-year bonds have had interest rates that are higher about 88% of the time. So historically, we're sitting at a low interest rate environment. And the bond investors are willing to pay a premium. So they're willing to pay more than the face value of the bonds. And that generates a higher yield or a higher coupon rate for them. So when they hold their investment for 30 years, they'll be getting a little higher coupon rate. And many of the investors are, you know, they like fixed income. They like to know what their coupon payment is every 6 months. So they're willing to pay up front for a higher coupon. And
that makes perfect sense. Once you said coupon rate, I understood. My background is in residential financing, so I just needed to hear the right buzzword.
Yep, you got the coupon. They're paying for a higher coupon. Their yield is a little bit lower. It's a market rate, but they want maybe a 4% coupon or a 5% coupon, even though their yield will be maybe 3.5%. So it generates additional proceeds for the district. So you have to issue less debt to get the same amount of project fund.
But there's no net receipt to the district. It's just a pass-through. It's a pass-through fund, more or less, huh?
It will be additional proceeds coming from the investors, and it will.
But it's going to go back to them.
It goes into the district project fund.
Okay.
And when the district pays its interest rate every year,
then it goes back out. That's what I mean, though. But it ends up going back to the investor. They just front load it to make sure that they receive the percentage they want 30 years from now.
Exactly.
Or 10 years from now, whatever.
Exactly.
Whatever they're locked into.
That's right.
Do you have any other questions for Jim, Brian?
No, that's it. Jack, Jimmy did a fantastic job going through the slides very articulately, so thank you.
Thank you, Jim. We appreciate the presentation. It was very clear. Do we have something more, Dina?
I actually just want to give a shout out to one, my staff. They did a great job. Julie worked really hard to get all these numbers in a short amount of time on top of all the other things that she's doing. So thank you very
kudos,
much.
Kudos, as always.
Aaron did a great job when we did our call to Standard & Poor's of explaining all the projects and going through word for word and project by project. So thank you very much again. And then we have a great team in place for this bond. I'm very happy with them. They're working really well with Julie and teaching her how to do this process with Jim and Nikki and Juan, our legal team as well. So thank you.
Fantastic. Jim, thank you very much. I think that we'll let you go.
Thank you. Have a great meeting.
You too. Thanks.
Thank you.
So the interesting thing was, were you here when the first bond was issued? You had just started.
Yes, pretty much.
Pretty much, because Chris Steele and I were on the board.
Yes,
were you? Did you do our first bond?
No,
I did.
Second bond. Okay. The interesting thing about the thing is that when he compliments staff for doing the presentation, at that point in time, because we had such limited staff, mm-hmm. I was the president of the board. I actually went to S&P in San Francisco
yes,
and did the presentation myself with them. Yeah. Sat down there, told them. So when you said, when he said, told them about the district and all the things, I was actually the one that did that that year, which was kind of interesting. As the president, and Chris was vice president, I think, at that time, and Chris Steele went over there. And we sat there with Rick.
Yes.
And I don't think you went, did you?
I did
not. No. And gave that presentation. And the interesting questions they asked, well, what kind of, what do you do? I mean, what's the population like? What's the, and you got to be prepared to really talk up what you got going. You got to be excited about where you are and what you are as a entity, whether it be a city or a district or whatever it is, for us a district.
Yeah.
So I kind of have a picture of what has happened here in the background, and it is kind of exciting to a certain extent to be able to do this. Brian, do you have anything?
Nope.
Nikki, do you have anything more
for us?
I have a couple of questions. Do you have anything more for us?
I don't.
Okay, hang around. I'm sorry? Okay, and at this point, before I go any further, I'd like to find out if there's anybody on the line, any public comment, anybody that would like to comment on our presentation. I will count to three. And there is nobody on the line, so I will close public comment. A couple of questions that came up. Technical questions have really nothing to do, just more for you. So he talked about us having to approve this at two levels, a board level and a JPA level. Do we have a board meeting and approve it and then refer it to the JPA and then close the board meeting and then open the JPA meeting and have another meeting for the JPA?
So April 20th, that's what we're going to do.
Okay. That was just a technical question.
Yes.
I'm kind of getting it. We've done this a few times now. But and then my other question, and this is just, you know, for me, is part of the reason that we don't have that step. Did we refi a bond the last? Did we refi a bond the last time we did a bond? Did we?
We did not.
We did not. We talked about refiing a bond, but found out that we were still going to have a better rate if we didn't. So we kept it the way it was.
That's right.
Okay. So we still have original bonds. Which the good news of that is it's going to expire quicker. Because we didn't refi it into a longer term, right?
Right, but we wouldn't necessarily have to extend the term with the refinancing. We like to keep the same final maturity. In 2012, we layered that bond. I'm sorry. In 2017, we layered that bond issue around the 2012. So it gave shorter, smaller debt service in the earlier years and then a larger chunk toward the end.
Oh, that's what it was. That's why it doesn't step down as much on the wastewater side.
That's exactly right.
I recall that now, and well, anyway, this is cool stuff. I like this stuff. This is cool stuff. This stuff makes me happy. I don't like having to spend money. Do you run into board members very much to get excited like this about these things? I know I'm weird. You know, the good news is that we had a good start to this district. I need to give credit to some of the original board members that were at it, that established this district in 89 that put us on a good path to making good decisions. We have since then, each board has made good decisions, but we were put on that path, and Jim alluded to that. He said, hey, you guys are making good decisions, your staff's making good decisions, you get good recommendations, and you're in a good place for what you're trying to do. That's pleasing to me. I've been on the board for 13 years or so, but I do want to give credit to earlier boards for establishing this policy, and I want to give credit for staff for understanding the process and making sure that we stay where we need to stay, even though we have to sometimes make hard decisions. With regards to rate increases and things like that and what we had to do with the water meters and all this other kind of stuff. So thank you, everybody. I don't have any more. Brian, do you? That would be a no. Nikki, do you have any more for us?
No.
Thank you so much for coming out. It's good to see you again.
My pleasure. Good to see you.
And
we'll see you in a couple
of days. Yeah, and we look forward to wrapping this up as quickly as possible. We are as anxious. We are as anxious as you are. If we could push it up and have special meetings, we would. But we're moving as fast as we can. I think it's going to be limited to by what you guys are able to do. I mean, I know you're going as fast as you can too. But there's just certain things that have to happen.
Exactly.
So thank you for your time. You can hang around or you can,
yeah,
whatever you'd like to do. Julie's going to give us twice as long a presentation based on the weight that I have in my hand. Now with regards to that. And so we'll see you in a couple weeks?
Yep.
Or 4 weeks?
The 20th.
A couple weeks. Okay, great. And that'll be at a regular board meeting.
Correct.
Okay. Julie, it's all yours.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm going to make this very quick.
Thank you.
I've got the unaudited financials for February as of February 28th. Just a couple things. This reflects 8 months of the fiscal year. We did receive our first installment of the tax roll in December. Good news, the tax roll that's coming in April is going to be hopefully directly deposited into our accounts.
So we're still in the transition period.
Yeah, they're not giving us our balance, but they're going to give us our progress payments, so we're happy. Again, the audit was complete, and I've got detailed financials for your review. Not much to report. We're underspending, and Kevin has a question.
You said just now that they are giving us our progress payments, but not our balance. Is that correct? But the next payment will include the balance?
That's
is that
right.
What I'm understanding?
I suspect. I'm not 100% sure, but they're getting rid of
it. So they're still sitting on millions of our money,
yeah,
that's sitting in their account, but that is eventually coming to us.
Yes. It is.
I need a new car. So.
Yeah, the progress payments should be on by the 20th of April, and they're getting ready to do that. And they said once they get through that, they'd work on giving us our account balance.
Can't believe Brian would say that. Go ahead.
So, again, in lieu of time, I'm not much to report. We are in line. We are underspent. We spent 54% of the budget in water 8 months in, 57% in wastewater. If you have any questions and any further review, please email me. Zone 8.
So 54 and 57 aren't 8 months. But that's more like about 6.5 months worth of revenue,
yes,
that we've spent,
yes,
in an 8 month period. Do we have, at the end of that period, do we have expenses that are going to bring it up to 100? Or, I mean, why are we spending less than we're budgeting?
We have a few expenses that will bring us up. Of course, we get some increase in utilities and things like that.
Okay.
But, I suspect we are going to be coming under budget.
We might have a little bit of a surplus.
Yes.
Good. Reserves. Go ahead.
All right, so I'm going to go over to Zone 8. Zone 8's in the same position. It's spent about 52% of its budget. Realize, though, we did have the pool in that budget being open when we prepared the budget. So that's a lot of the reasons we're saving the money there. And Zone 9, we're at 47% of budget.
Our fiscal year ends
June 30th.
Right. So there'll be more pool expenses and very little revenue coming in the last quarter.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we had the one-year forecasted in there, so we're definitely understanding. Again, if you have any questions, we have time. I know we've got not too much time.
I know we have another meeting coming up, but Brian, Brian, are you still with us?
No, I'm still with you. Okay. I could unmute myself when you first asked me because
I couldn't find the button. Did you have any questions or do you have any comments about the about what was just discussed?
Nope. Nope.
Okay.
Good.
Great. Then if there's no clarifying questions, I'll ask if there's any public comment at this point. Is anybody on the line that would like to comment upon our unaudited budget for the first 8 months of the year? No comment? Great. I mean, well, no comment. Julie, again, want to thank you for tackling stuff you probably haven't tackled before, but good job. And we do have a good team. We have a good team on board, and we have a good team that we're working with. So we want to acknowledge that. Is there anything? Oh, let me look at the agenda. That might help.
Yeah,
that would be the finance update presentation. Are there any other updates? Looks like we have some landscape. Wow,
yeah,
he jumped up there pretty quick. He heard surplus, and he's right at the dais there. So we have Bill that's going to give us a little presentation, which you're probably already familiar with, Director Gateau, but it's probably something that I need to hear. So, Bill, it's all yours.
All right. So I think I can speak not only for staff, but the community and board as well, that we're disappointed not getting the Prop 68 competitive grant for Clipper Drive. But in an effort to kind of keep that positive momentum going from our community meetings, I'm suggesting the committee consider funding a project on Clipper to retrofit some of those community design ideas that were brought forward in the grant process. So the most recent Park and Rec Committee meeting came up with several concepts to consider, keeping in line with some of the other designs we've done and implemented. One of the main issues on Clipper is that the walk is not wide enough. Creates a scenario where passing pedestrians need to step off into the landscape and pass one another. In the Park and Rec Committee meeting, the committee chose to move forward with concept A, which, as you can see, creates a widened crushed granite path but keeps the more flowing look of the other designs we've implemented. Or concept C, which expands concept A but introduces synthetic turf areas that could potentially also be putting greens to create that idea from the community meetings of the games type path. Looking at the costs associated with each concept and keeping in mind we have $100,000 of carryover funds from the prior fiscal year, and anticipating needing an extra nearly $170,000 for concept A and $320,000 for concept C. So.
Maybe slightly more for a little bit of percentage for contingency. Just in case, so add a little bit, 10-15%. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Joe. I missed that. Did you say that we have 100,000 rollover fees funds?
We have $100,000 funds.
Oh, I do have it here.
Saved for fixing up Clipper Drive.
Those were monies that we were going to put together with the grant.
Whatever we decided moving forward with, it would just be the delta of that of Bill's estimate minus.
That's correct. So if you use concept A, you subtract $100,000. We need to borrow roughly $170,000 plus contingency from, use $170,000 plus contingency from another source. That other source would be either Hoffman funds or some type of reserve fund.
Okay. So.
So direct rate. If I could give you a little background, the Park and Rec Committee had looked at both A and C more on a cursory basis. We didn't necessarily come up with a specific plan we wanted to go with, but we wanted to move forward securing the finances whatever route we go because it's how long sometimes it takes for meetings and everything else. So at this point, we haven't definitively came up with a specific plan. We're kind of leaning on concept A, but maybe taking some of the amenities from concept C just to kind of spruce it up a little bit.
Yeah, makes sense to me. For some reason, these were in the middle of this stuff. So anyway, makes sense to me. And listen, Director Gateau, you and I were on Park and Rec together 2 years ago, and we were talking about a lot of these items at that time. And I just want to state on the record that I'm a proponent of taking care of these deferred maintenance items that have been neglected through the expansion and establishment of the community center and the funds from Zone 8 that were directed that way. I think it was the right thing to do. I think it needed to be done, and a lot of money has been spent on the community center, but it's all Zone 8 money. And the money that came from Hoffman, from the original intent of the board that was in at that time, was to cover this, when we bought this place, was to cover that deferred maintenance because we knew we were taking money out of Zone 8. So I'm a proponent of spending money on Clipper Drive. I think it needs to be upgraded. I think it needs to be enhanced. I think it needs to be addressed because the public also feels that way. We've gotten a lot of feedback on that. So at this point, it would seem to me... Okay, I'm not exactly sure what you're looking for from the Finance Committee right now, staff. What are you looking for from us?
Well, Well, one, we'd like to know how much money can we take from the Hoffman
Fund? What's the total money? What are the total monies in the Hoffman Fund?
$1,372,000.
370 and one is 470. So I would be open. I don't know. Okay. I'd love to see putting greens out there, but I don't know if the public would look at that and say, well, that's a little extravagant for the town of Discovery Bay. So I understand artificial turf. I don't think I understand putting greens in the air. I get it, and I'd love to see it because you'd see me out there, but the concept, that may be where you could spend some extra money, or you may find a better idea if we approve something over and above option A. So I would be willing to propose, if I may, Director Gateau, I would be willing to propose a not to exceed $370,000 of the Hoffman money to be used to enhance Clipper Drive. And that would give you a total budget of $470,000 to work with. You don't have to spend it all. But I'd rather see it done well, and I'd rather see it done, of course, professionally, in a way that would be beneficial and have an impact on the community. They deserve it. It's been neglected for too long. There's been exposed water pipes out there, and all the tan bark's been gone, and it's just not good. So do I do it a motion? No, just a recommendation? That would be my recommendation. Director Gateau, I'd open the floor to you.
Just for clarification, did you say 470?
370 out of the Hoffman money, which would then reduce that balance to right around $1 million, which would be roughly 27 or 28% of that fund, probably. I'm just shooting from the hip here. And then with the 100,000 that's already been budgeted, that would give you almost a $500,000 to work with.
Well, that's definitely more than what Bill's proposing at this point, but...
Well, he's proposing $320,000, so it's not that much more.
Well, it gives us the contingency.
And that throws the contingency in there.
I think also, ultimately, the board needs to make a decision of how we want to treat the sound wall along Clipper Drive as well, what our ultimate goals with that's going to be.
That we don't own that sound wall. That belongs to each individual home.
I understand that, but if we're going to spend a massive amount of landscaping budget and the sound wall is deteriorating behind it, I'm not proposing any solutions at this point. I'm just saying I think it needs to be discussed in parallel.
That would be a discussion for Parks and Rec for another day.
Yep, you're right.
Okay. So...
So I agree with your proposal.
Okay, so what I would like to do is I would like to refer this back to Parks and Rec with a budget of $390,000from the Hoffman money, period.
Okay, 370.
Or 370, whatever that 1.37, okay. If it's 1.37, then 3.7. It's 1.39, then 3.9.
Then we'll bring this back to the Parks and Rec Committee. We'll solidify a concept and bring it to the whole board.
Right, because I don't think until you have a commitment from us, you can really do anything worthwhile.
Right.
So now you have a commitment from the Finance Committee, mm-hmm. And then we'll take the heat from the rest of the board if they think we've overstepped, you know? And it can always be thrown out, but yes. I'd like to see you have something substantial to work with. That is probably the largest piece of land that we have to really work with, isn't it, in the district?
Yeah, believe it or not, it's nearly 3 acres.
Yeah, so let's move forward.
Yeah, okay.
All right, any other... okay, so that. Thank you, Bill, for that. Thank you, Director Gateau, for your work on the other committee. I am looking at a discussion about the 2022-23 budget review. Item F2. Do we have paperwork on this too?
Yes, it is in there.
Okay. What do you got for us?
Okay.
I see all that, but what does it really say?
Before you, the operating and maintenance budget for the town of Discovery Bay for fiscal year 2023. It also includes a first look of fiscal year 2024. The budget was prepared in cooperation with district management and all department managers. Inflation, new debt financing, community center reopening, including the pool, as well as contractual increases for vendors such as Veolia, have all been addressed in the budget before you. I'm going to give some basic...
Is it after the balance sheet? Okay. Is it there? Okay, all right. It was kind of all got thrown together. Okay, so I'm with you.
Okay. I'm going to give you some general estimates of what we've done that will run through all the budgets. Water and wastewater revenue is based on the 2020 rate study. The study has nominal increases of 1.75% increases. In the past year, we've had no new permits pulled for any new construction, and there are currently only 20 lots as of the last tax roll in the town of Discovery Bay. No new construction is included in this budget, and no new permit fees for any of the upcoming developments, such as Newport Point and Pantages. Expenses. For the expenses, salary and benefits include a 5% increase over the previous year for all funds. All positions are budgeted at the top step salary range, as we have done in previous years. Employee benefits for medical have not been communicated to the town as of yet, but increases of 10% are reflected in the budget. SDRMA ensures the district for both workers' comp and property and liability. Currently, there's a 15% increase for workers' comp and a 35% increase for property and liability.
Huh.
We do believe the amounts will be sufficient in the aggregate, but we do think we will have some changes between workers' comp and property and liability. Vehicle and fuel expenses have been increased by 10% over the 2022 run rates. And I do want to recognize that we are reflecting the savings of $10,000 for property taxes as Plant 2 was approved for annexation.
Okay.
So I know we're running out of time. That's a lot of information. Stop there for a minute, and I'm going to take a breath. And was there any specific items that you had for water and wastewater?
No. We're in a very volatile, very difficult time to make predictions of what's going to happen. You know, current status politically, as well as economically, as well as globally, is affecting everything we do. So I trust that you guys have looked at all that stuff and that you've made the best estimates you can without going too far overboard so that it becomes scary, but yeah, also is not deficient in the estimates, and that's all we can do at this point. I don't see that there's any other way to handle it.
Yes, and we used these this budget here that is before you, we used in the S&P presentation, and I went through it with a fine-tooth comb. Current year that we're in, our actuals, and the budget. So, and Dina and I reviewed it a couple times. We're pretty
solid. Assuming also that you guys had some help with that. I mean, you looked at trends or... recommendations that maybe are out there in the. I mean, you just didn't pull stuff out of the air. So.
We discussed with managers.
I know this moved pretty quickly because it's just the finance committee. But we are going to be doing the budget workshop, and that's coming at what date, Julie? Do you remember the date? So
for the board.
Yeah, for the board.
Has that been set already?
Yes.
Yeah. So
did all the board members get that?
Yes.
What was the date that they got?
Call the date.
It's that Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
20th or 19th.
It's Wednesday. What month?
May.
May 18th.
May 18th. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. So in the last few seconds that we have, I just wanted to mention about Zone 8. Zone 8, we all know that our primary source of income is the property tax. Zone 8 gave its own problems for budgeting this year. We've had 3 years of the pool closed, 2 years of COVID, and the community centers open once again. We have gone through the budget. We've looked at our old operating costs with the pool and factored in that we've got new equipment, less leaks, et cetera, and those are reflected in the zoning budget.
Okay.
Along with the salary increases and everything we did water and wastewater.
We're just happy to have to pay those salaries.
Yes. And Zone 9, not a lot to say on Zone 9. Basically, same philosophies that we've had through the other budgets that we've presented. I would like you to, if you'd like, to look at the budget, and if you'd like to send me specific questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Either that or we can, yes, have come into the office to discuss it with you personally. Any comments, Brian? We're running out of time. Okay. Hey, thanks, everybody. A lot got talked about, a lot got done. Julie, I'm sorry we're rushing you through this thing, but we have to move on with other meetings today. So at this point, if there's no public comment about any of those items, which I don't believe there's any public, I will adjourn the Finance Committee meeting. Thank you, everybody.